happy with two or three turtles, but I
chocolate covered turtles.
Yeah, the catnip, not the actual pet, because I don't feel like watching my cat statistically smack the turtle shell around the house like Super Mario Brothers. But
oh my god, have you seen what was that one old movie? My Concubine. That it was old 80s movie.
I've probably seen the title of it, but probably scroll right back.
No, Farewell My Concubine. And they like had like they're gonna make like some turtle soup, and then they like stretched out the turtle's neck and they slit the turtle's neck.
Oh.
And I was like this. I was like, what?
What did the turtle do to you?
I was like,
my God.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Like trauma right by your right there. Just I think that was just about as crazy as that one. I think it's something of the last of the chrysanthemums or something.
Uh-huh.
That last scene just threw me off for a loop when like everything was unveiled, who was sleeping with who in the dynasty. I was like, oh. It's like the emperor, the emperor's son, the wife. It was just all, oh yeah.
Oh.
One of them deeply rooted movies, but.
Oh my gosh. Hey folks. Welcome to Who's Impressed. This is our very, 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 very first episode. My name's Alita. I will be your hostiest with the mostiest. And sitting before me.
Hello.
It's Bianca.
Hi. And when you said that, why are they contemplating a Beetlejuice number two?
Beetlejuice?
Yeah. Yeah, with Michael Keaton.
Oh.
Yeah. Hostess with the most is, you don't remember?
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah, his favorite saying, it's showtime.
Yes, here we go. Okay, we might have to do an episode on that one day. Okay.
Oh, man, take a throwback to the show. Right. Show and a movie.
Yep. So, welcome to Who's Impressed. If you guys didn't, like, listen to, episode zero, which actually like gave like a breakdown of what the show's about. I'm just gonna give you like a quick quick overview of what the show's about.
Hit him with that cliff notes.
Yes, cliff. We're gonna cliff this up. All right, so here are the cliffs. Who's Impressed is a nerd cast. We talk about anything nerdy, anything dweeby. Just basically the best fun stuff that you can even think of. So we talk about anime, comics, video games, what have you. And it's unscripted. We say like a lot of stuff that like actually like pops up in our heads. So if we seem rather rambly sometimes,
that's because I have no brain to mouth filter.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, me neither.
It's like open mouth, the Akira comes.
Yeah, and then so. It just stuff comes out. So
random quotes, random books.
So yeah, like me and my buddies, we're gonna talk about whatever. So that's basically it. And then also, along with our discussions, we talk about first impressions. So I might like find like a product or a video game or whatever, and I'll just start talking about it. I mean, it's not a review, it's just our first impressions of something. So basically that's it. So onwards with the show. So what's our topic?
Full Metal Alchemist. And what was our thoughts on it back in the day?
Full Metal Alchemist. What the hell is this first episode? That was my first thoughts. Of
Full Metal Alchemist. I actually came in like after the like first few minutes because I probably was like stuck watching something else or trying to go grab snacks from the kitchen.
Wait, you kind of like missed everything. Cause
I kind of came in at the creepy thing upside down. That was after the blood score and all that loveliness.
Yeah, yeah. This was back in 03, people. So,
which reminds me, I got some other questions about that first episode. But look, blame Roy for this one, because I didn't know he was standing in the middle of the field across from their house.
Yeah, guys, we actually, like, rewatched while we were having sushi. We actually, like, rewatched, like, the first episode of the 03 version.
Oh.
And we were like,
wait a minute.
It's like, there's a lot of stuff that we missed and stuff like that.
That you glossed over it back over 10 years ago.
Right.
15 years ago.
I was getting ready to say, it's longer than that. Shoot.
Over 10, 15-ish.
Shoot.
Ish.
We're old. No, we're not.
I am. Yeah, I tell people I'm just old, like a cask of bourbon. I just get better as I get older.
Oh, smooth.
Yeah, because wine is sometimes turned vinegary. Bourbon, on the other hand.
Okay. All right.
Bunch of luscious on the microphone. That's a scary thought.
All right. So, should we start talking about the author, or where do we want to begin?
Well, I mean, we can touch on the author because I think to understand the show itself and mm-hmm. understand the artwork that we are going to talk about, kind of get an idea of some of her previous work. So
right.
if someone's like, wow, I really didn't give a crap about Full Metal Alchemist, but I like the other shows, they have a chance. hey.
What?
Some people are picky. Some people are
crazy.
Who don't
care about Full Metal Alchemist?
Okay, well, you and I both know. When you go on a Dragon Ball Z rant on a Full Metal Alchemist show.
That's a different story.
Well, see, that means you just ain't watching. It may not be your cup of tea at that moment.
Okay.
As you drink a cup of tea.
Yeah, I did kind of sip. I was drinking tea while she was talking. I was like
I'm sorry, but that worked.
I was like, okay. All right.
I had that karma emotion.
All right. So, who is Hiromu? Go ahead.
So Hiromu Arakawa, or as she's known by her pen name, Hiromu, was born May 8th, 1973. So happy belated birthday.
Wait, that was this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, a couple days ago, Tuesday.
Well, yeah. So Tuesday. This is going to come, so actually for the folks who are listening now, it's going to be like next week was her birthday. Last week was her birthday for the folks that are listening.
Her birthday passed. We're saying happy belated birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. Whatever. Shall I believe it?
Got it. We're good. We're good here. Right. Born in Hokkaido, she was born and raised on a dairy farm with her four siblings. Her upbringing, I can't read tonight. Her upbringing comes to surface quite often in her work. Silver Spoon being a good example.
Yeah. You know what? Have you seen Silver Spoon?
I have not.
Read the manga?
He's so cute.
What?
No.
Okay.
You had hope in me on that one,
like,
didn't you?
Have you read it? I like it. It's like one of those laid back type of
slice of life moments.
Yeah, slice of life moments. Okay. You should really check it out. And those who aren't familiar with Silver Spoon, check it out. I believe like the series is, I think it's on Netflix. I think you can catch it on Netflix.
Okay, time to re-download that app on my phone. My phone is my life. Sorry.
I think you can catch it on Netflix, but
if it's on Hulu, I can watch it right now. But
yeah, let's see. At a young age, I'm getting ready to screw up her name because I'm very American people. And yeah, Arakawa. My fault, folks. I could just hear a bunch of nerd sniffers right now getting upset with me.
Man, they sniff so hard that I think they got a can of Febreze in front of them or this candle.
They're probably like, she can't even say her name. How can you talk about anime? You don't even speak Japanese. I could just hear it now. Okay.
Like, did y'all want to get some Glade plugins if y'all sniffing that hard? y'all better get some muff. Okay. Better get some Febreze and go sniff that carpet over there and leave me and leave me alone. How about
Thank
that?
Thank you. Okay, so Arakawa, she wanted to be a manga artist since she was very little. And during her school years, she would often draw in her textbooks.
Well,
yeah, that kind of puts me in a frame of mind of our one classmate in school.
Which one? Because it was a few of them.
Yeah, it was a few of them, but that's too long of a story. So after graduating high school, she took oil painting classes once a month for 7 years while working on her family's farm. During this time, she also created doujinshi manga with her friends and drew Yonkoma for a magazine. Do you know what doujinshi is, Bianca?
Sort of. I don't have a direct translation, but kind of like the comics.
Independent work.
Yeah, the ones that are not picked up. Kind of like indie films that we would know of.
Right. It's like, doujinshi is basically like indie work. And sometimes some people would consider some of them to be like fan fiction in a way. For some things.
So you get that little piece that I thought on that one show that just been bothering you, get it out
mm-hmm.
on how you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And Yonkoma is actually a term for four panel strips. And a good example of a Yonkama would be Azumanga Daioh.
And see, when you say yon, I don't know why my brain didn't pull up that meaning of word four.
Yeah, four.
One of the words that means four in Japanese. I don't know why my brain glossed that one. Sorry. Lack of caffeine is real here.
Okay, well, sorry.
Oh, you're fine. Well, no, I'm one of those people that caffeine doesn't affect anyway, so.
Yeah.
Two cups of coffee, be jittery and sleepy at the same time. Who knew?
Yeah, it's about a little bit after 9 o'clock while we're recording this right now, so. And plus, you had yourself a full work day. You just came from work. Anywho, so.
Skeleton motion.
Unlike I had a nap after nursing a migraine for like hours. But
yeah, that was work by itself. But
yeah,
anyway.
True. Yeah, it was. Let's see. Want to talk about her influences?
Sure. Some of her influence were some of famous mangakas that we should recognize, like
yes.
Rumiko Takahashi, which mm-hmm. if the name doesn't influence you, probably the shows will like Inuyasha and Ranma One Half.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you don't know. I think another one was like Urasai Yusei.
Yeah.
That was another mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. Shigeru Mizuki. Good Lord. Shigeru Mizuki from Gigage no Kitaro.
And lots and lots and lots of, like, he was one of the OGs. He was straight OG.
Just pull that back. He's just like.
You know, because Gigi no Kitaro was, like, back in, like, 1960-something.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, and they just.
When you went further back than like Gundam,
mm-hmm.
and you went further back than Astro Boy, you know you didn't probably hit that.
Well, actually, well, not that. No, it was about around
the same time.
Around the same time, and I think Gero. Oh,
thank goodness.
Yeah, it was like around, like almost Whew. Around the same time.
I was about to say, you took it any further back?
No.
So they originally.
But they actually, there's actually like a. There's actually like a. There's a current reboot that's. On Crunchyroll right now, which is pretty cool.
Mm.
Yeah, so check it out if you ever guys ever have a chance. YouTube Bianca.
Okay.
Okay.
Got too much to read and catch up with. I see. I've been given homework. Who knew?
Oh wait, and it was really cool. Another influence is Hellboy creator Mike Mignola.
Hmm.
That's pretty cool. And then, you know, you can see a lot in Fullmetal Alchemist, actually, that influence, too.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wait. Bianca was sitting there.
The light went off. And currently.
I'm sorry, folks. My dog is barking in the background.
She's a little mad at me.
Yeah, she doesn't like people.
She doesn't like me. Let's get it right.
Well, no, she doesn't like nobody. But the people that live here.
I don't know. I think she was barely tolerating y'all for a point, too.
Well, true.
Y'all just have food. That's the only good thing you got going
true.
For you.
True. Okay, so in the summer of 99, Irakawa moved to Tokyo and started her career in the manga industry as an assistant to Hiroyuki Ito, author of, I'm getting ready to screw this up. Okay. Mahoujin Guru Guru, because you know I was getting ready to like run all that together. But some people might know it as Magical Circle Guru Guru, and it was published by Square Enix.
Ah,
yeah. Do you remember? Are you familiar
from my PlayStation days back in the day?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Square Enix was a name you look for.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
For a good game, Square Enix is it. But are you familiar with Magical Circle Guru Guru at all?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay, I feel better now.
I was trying to actually. It looks really cute, though, because I did, like, look at some of the artwork and the, and I think there's an anime. I was getting ready to watch the anime after I recorded this episode, actually. Excuse me, folks. I'm kind of like getting ready to sneeze here.
She's allergic to us.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, God, it is cute.
It's so cute, isn't it?
But you know what? Some of the characters remind me of some of the ones on Ranma One Half.
Mm-hmm.
Which would just make sense in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the redheaded brat.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure.
So what really started her career was a publication of Stray Dog, which tells the story of a warrior who finds a military dog with the intelligence of a human and takes the dog in as his own. The one shot was published in 1999 and won the 9th 21st Century Shonen Gang Award. That's not bad, is it?
No, when you think about a dog with the intelligence of a human, you know there's another dog that came to my mind, don't you?
Yeah, I know you're thinking about, but that's for another episode. But it's so cool. She won the ninth.
That's still, you're in the top 10.
Yeah.
So that's not bad for someone who first tried.
Yeah, first starting out, yeah. Let's see. Let's move on to Full Metal Alchemist. Yes.
Yes. Full Metal.
Yes.
Gotta say, and I grew up with that great Full Buster. Full Metal.
Full Metal. Full Metal Alchemist.
Why, you need a glass of water after you just ripped your throat apart trying to talk.
So Full Metal Alchemist, a.k.a. You want to say the Japanese name?
So we can laugh statistically.
Yeah, let's laugh together.
So my pronunciation is going by Hagane no. Oh, dear Jesus, save us all. Renkin Jusushi.
There you go.
I can't say it no faster or I'm going to tongue-tie the devil out of myself.
I know. It's like just jutsu. Jinsushi. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
You're fine. So, it debuted in Monthly Shonen Gangan's Awards 2001 issue, July 12th to be exact. It ran until July 12th of 2010. So, roughly around about 9 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just in case my math is off. So, it spanned a whopping 108 chapters and was collected into 27 volumes. So, anytime you got that type of depth, mm-hmm. you know, that gives you plenty of reading.
Mm-hmm.
But the series also won the 49th Shogakukan Manga Awards in the Shonen category in 2004. So, now that takes us on to the real meat and potatoes of this Full Metal Alchemist.
So, have you read the manga?
I've read bits and pieces throughout my times. Mm-hmm. It's because they introduced the manga after the show came on TV. And at that point, why backtrack? Because I'm lazy.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm lazy. It was there. Blame Toonami.
I know, because we're kind of jumping ahead here, but like it was like the anime was just so good. It was kind of like,
yeah.
I was just like, I
don't need to read this.
I don't need to. I had to wait for.
Well, you think about the premise of the show. Uh-huh. You have two teen, preteen-ish boys
mm-hmm.
who are technically soldiers in a way, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and you think about the trials and tribulations they go through throughout the show, how many people they battle, how many fights, how many things, you really are looking at something that's full of action. Right. Not, you're not trying to read an action sequence. Come on.
Right.
That takes too much time. Mm-hmm. Has anyone...
Even though her art is like awesome.
It is, but it's so much meat and potato work in between.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to...
And it didn't help that everything was like... And the anime was just animated so beautifully for the time.
Yeah, true.
It was just something about it. And then also, I know some people don't like dub, but the English dub for the anime Fullmetal Alchemist was like one of the best ones ever for its time, at the time.
Yeah, it was not butchered as bad as certain other mm-hmm. ones. I'm just glad they kept them as brothers and didn't make them cousins who were in love with each other.
Huh? Who did that?
You don't remember that Crisis of Sailor Moon? Magical Girl in Complex got it. Pretty much, you know, two characters were made cousins.
Well, okay.
We'll get onto that later.
That's in the future. Okay.
I'm just glad they didn't take that route. I'm so glad.
Okay. So in the manga, it's set in an alternate universe, and it follows the story of brothers Edward and Alphonse Alric as they search for the Philosopher's Stone to restore their bodies after attempting to bring their mother back to life. Yeah.
We forgot to mention there's going to be crap tons of spoilers.
Yeah, crap tons. Crap. I'm trying not to bring in a bunch of spoilers for the people that don't have seen anime, but...
Yeah, but that first line just kind of prodded a little bit.
It did. Well, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, folks. If you all were, like, confused as hell, but that's basically...
Spoiler.
Will Robinson. Sorry.
Danger ahead. Spoiler alert.
Spoiled. Okay.
Oh, God.
Wait, did I do the robot arms? Danger, Will Robinson. Okay.
So, oh, God. And they got a reboot for that, too?
Wait. I'm sorry, folks. My dog is barking again.
The dog said she hears me. She knows I'm here.
Hey, guys. This is our first impression section. Yay. Blah, blah, blah. Ooh, blah, blah, and blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. 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 Okay. All right, so.
Family Out Pairs moment.
So, what do we have here today? I got a box. It's a very pretty box. What do you think of the box?
I kind of like it. I actually like the image on top. It's really cute.
Yeah. This is from fairyloot.com.
I'm a little afraid they might have a fairy cage in there, though. On
a
low.
Fairy cage?
Just in case. You never know when your fairy... You gotta tame your fairy. I'm just saying. Come here, baby.
Oh.
I've got problems if you all have not realized this yet.
Well, we're all family here. I don't know about the people listening, though, but...
They've had probably judged me about 7
times
by now.
They're probably like, ew. No. Anywho.
Like, don't care.
Okay. So, Fairy Loop is a subscription box. Like a monthly subscription box. So she's rubbing a box right now, folks.
Trying to do my kitten paw expression, darn it. Glad I don't fuck
yet. Yeah, basically it's for like young adults and people who like young adult books. And this month they have something awesome. Oh, this is cool.
That is cute. Oh, I like that image.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, so the theme for this month, technically it says April, actually, is Whimsical Journeys. It says, spoiler card, for the first time ever, we're including an exclusive reusable Narnia, coffee mug.
Sweet.
This stunning item was designed by Ink and Wonder and features the map of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, filled with flowers. Aren't the details just gorgeous? Okay, let's look at it.
Yes,
this is awesome.
That is cute. I like it.
Wait, I might have to take this to work.
There you go. New excuse. Like, wait. If this is not full, do not talk to me.
Yeah, don't talk to
no,
me.
No, if this is full, don't talk to me.
Hey, this is so cute. It's a
oh, and it has a print of the company's logo on the
top.
Yeah,
the logo is like a really nice fairy.
It looks like almost like branches and wings wrapped around, and she's sitting on a branch.
Oh, wow.
And she's holding something with like fairy dust above her hand.
Uh-huh.
Kind of cool. Okay.
And it's the mug is the map, and we have Aslana the compass
in the middle of it.
Yeah, in the middle of it. It's so cool.
Oh, wow.
Oh, what else we got in here?
I don't know, but I see a little box.
Okay, little box. Oh, it's a candle. It's by Flickithwick. That's what it says, right?
Oh.
You know, we...
Flick the wick.
Flick the wick.
Flick the wick. Ooh, y'all better watch how y'all say that, because say that 5 times fast. You listen to somebody out there. You just didn't understand.
Flip the wick. Okay.
Flip
the wick. Okay.
Flip the wick.
Okay, folks. That was like all ran together, so I couldn't see what the hell it was. Plus, you know, I'm slightly blind, so...
That makes two of us.
So, I didn't know what that was. Let's see what type of candle. Oh, Leaf's ship. Who's Leaf? Who's left? Who's Leaf? I don't know.
You didn't know that was Link's other name?
Oh. Okay, Bianca is over here using the packaging as like little hair barrettes and little streamers.
I can't help it. They're crinkly. They almost match my hair texture. Judge me.
Yeah, it's purple.
My hair texture. It doesn't take out well, actually.
This is a nice candle.
If I take out my extensions. Let me see. Ooh.
A nice candle.
It almost has like a slight masculinity to it.
Yeah,
almost
it does.
Like a soft musk. I wonder what all scents are pushed into this bad boy.
Who's leaf?
Ah, spruce, fir, sandalwood, soy, candle.
Ah.
That would explain it, the sandalwood and spruce.
Yeah, I love sandalwood. We used to have like the sandalwood soap that, I forget, it was like Chinese made, I believe.
Ooh.
I'm trying to remember what the company was, but it was just really cool.
Oh, and this one's right there in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
So fairly close, not too far away.
Yeah, and based, by the way, folks, Fairy Loot is based in England. So it's based in the UK, so it's pretty cool. And wait, and Bianca's taking a picture.
I took a picture of the bottom of the candle so I knew where to go to find it. Because I will screw up the name 40 times. Let's not lie about this.
Okay, so we have like a cute pin.
Ooh.
Ace of Spades. I don't know what that
is. Ace of Shades.
Why did I say Ace of Spades?
Because that's an actual card.
I know. And I don't know why I put down. Okay, the thing says Ace of Shades, folks.
Ass, spades, shades.
Shades, yeah.
But you might have been thinking of Alice in Wonderland for whimsical.
I think I was. Okay.
Look, that at least don't make sense. Look. Said whimsical journey.
Right.
What is Wonderland but a whimsical discombobulation of life journey and everything in between?
Yeah.
There's more, I think.
Yeah, so it says, about the candle. It says, we are so thrilled to be including the exclusive Leaf Ship candle by Flick the Wick. The candle is themed around our featured book of the month. See below. Well, I don't know why I read the parentheses out loud, but excuse me. And we worked with the author what Leaf would smell like. Oh, so we would make his ship smell like him. Ah, yeah. So that's why it's all masculine then.
Ooh.
Okay,
he walk past smelling like that.
Yeah, be jumping on him.
Shanghai me, please. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shanghai me, please. I don't want to be here.
It smells that good, people. I'm serious.
Yeah.
The label artwork was drawn by, I'm going to mess up this person's name, Terija. And the Viking ship also has Leaf's red skeletal dragon on the sail, just like the book.
Okay.
Okay, we're actually just picking this thing all apart. Okay, what we got? Okay.
Some stationery.
We got nice stationery. Says, let's carp the hell out of this diem.
Let's see the hell out of this day.
That's so cool.
That is for those of you who will watch Dead Poets Society with featuring the beloved Robin Williams. If you know that line, you know why. Mm-hmm. You've seen that movie a couple times too many. Only line you ever knew.
Okay.
Ooh.
This is a nice pen. Blackjack enamel pen. Percy Jackson.
Ah, with Pegasus. Gotcha.
Yeah. Whimsical the journey once again.
Yeah, Mount Olympus. I don't know how the temperature is up there, but I would think it'd be a little chilly.
A little shivery.
A little chilly.
This book contains, this suitcase contains magical,
magical beasts.
Yeah. This is, what's this, a magnet?
I don't know. No, or a book.
Oh, it's a luggage tag.
Ooh.
This is a real cute luggage tag. It's a, it's based on Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yes.
That's so cool here.
That is cool. Oh my gosh. That is cute. And I wonder, okay, so is there two in there? Or am I just special? And that's like the tag that goes through. Oh, it's a tag.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a little touched in the head. Don't judge me.
Yeah, it's a luggage tag.
Mm.
Okay, we got a nice tote going on here.
Something to put all the fun things in.
What's this say?
I'm going on an adventure. J.R.R. Tolkien.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Ah.
I see mushrooms, so I have questions about this.
Mushrooms.
Hey, I've never done mushrooms, but I just have to say, every time you hear people talk about them, they take some crazy trips in their head. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That could be a fantastic journey, too. Ish.
Well.
For some people.
This is Hobbit.
Woo! Ooh, I like the texture. It feels like it's like a rayon kind of canvas-y rayon, almost.
Ooh, the Fates Divide bookmark. Sequel. Okay, so cool. We got a nice bookmark going on here. What else we got?
I was gonna say, I hope you would give us a bookmark if you're giving all this stuff. But book.
Ah, it's so cute! Yay! We we got Hogwarts. Oh, look, we got Hogwarts. We got Hobbiton. We got Carnival. Okay, Camp Half-Blood. This is like a little poster.
Oh, it's almost like one of those windows directional posts that have the different arrows in different ways.
This is so cool.
I'm just saying, when the name is Camp Half-Blood, I'm just saying, I don't think I need to go that direction. Because I'm just saying.
Well, that's Percy Jackson.
Yeah, but when you hear the term Half-Blood, and you see Hogwarts involved.
Yeah, true.
You kind of get a little nervous.
Wait, we got Narnia. Okay.
Oh, I don't know if Narnia. It has snow on that one when you entered on that one. It was snow. Where we are from, snow
is
a...
We're in Cleveland, Ohio, people. Yeah.
A.K.A. snow, more snow.
Yeah, we don't even want to think about it right now, do we?
No.
Okay, we're going to finally get down to the book.
Please, what's in here? Ooh, that's a cute case.
Oh, this is so cool. It's a, They put the book in a nice, canvasy drawstring bag with the company's logo on there. And it's so pretty. I'm probably going to keep using this.
Oh, wait a minute. Mm. There's something I don't know if you noticed. Mm. But while you're opening the bag, if you read on the inside of the lid of the box, it's like a whole story.
Oh, really?
There was once a girl who wished very much for magic and adventure, but she could not obtain her wish. One day, as she was helping her grandmother clean out her attic, she happened upon an ancient map. So it's pretty much, it gives you a full-blown story. From start to finish.
I have to go read it. That's so cool.
I'm looking at
this is literally people our first time looking at this.
I'm looking like, wait, I'm kind of thinking of like random words until I actually stop and look at it.
Yeah. This is so cool.
Don't judge me if I get quiet because I might be reading this as we go.
I'm going to put it away. I'm just joking. Okay. I'm just joking with you.
No.
Okay.
As my niece was saying, no.
No. Okay, so I can get the book out of here. This is so cool. Wait, in the back it says happy reading on the
They're like, bag. We know you're gonna like this. It's like we know it.
Ooh.
Ooh.
What is this? It says look, we got like a letter.
I see all sorts of different things. Is that another bookmark?
Yeah, another bookmark. Here.
What's this?
And I think that's a print.
Oh.
Is that like the people?
Is that Leaf?
Is that the characters from the book?
Ooh. If that's Leaf, I see why they picked that scent for the candle.
Yeah, because let me see what he looks like. Oh, he's fine.
Yeah.
Oh.
And if that's what the candle smells, if he smells like that candle, and if that's what he looked, yeah, we might have to go find this dude.
Oh, look, they have this little card that says, find your reading buddies. Upload an unboxing photo on Instagram or Twitter using the hashtag below. We could have been doing that the whole time while we were
doing it. Holy crap. Well, you know what? You may not have a video, but we could always tag them in the podcast.
We will.
That way they can hear our impression of this. See, we just read this at the very end, so at least it's not staged.
Right.
We're like, oh, what's this?
I was like, Okay, so, what else do we have here? Okay, we got like this nice card thingy. It says, our featured book of the month is Beyond a Darkened Shore by Me and My Blind Self Again.
Girl, I had to take my glasses and read this one.
What's her name? Jessica Leek?
Let me see.
Okay. There you go. Oh, blindness.
Okay, Jessica Leek.
Yep.
Yes. Or Leaky, I'm not sure.
Oh, look. I think... Oh. This is so cool. I wonder, is this a signature?
Let me see.
Is this...
Oh, it's an autographed copy.
Oh.
Nice. Oh, yes. And looky, you can even take it and put it inside. It's like a little sticker.
Oh, cool. Because then you don't have to, like, ruin the book.
Right.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's actually a sticker that you can go put this up on.
Okay, so
apart.
The book of the month is called Beyond a Darkened Shore by Jessica Leek. It seems like...
That's what he smells like.
It's about
if that's what he smells like. I mean, that smell is really I don't know what it is. It's like, I just grabbed the candle. I'm so sorry. But it smells so...
This is so cool. It's a hardcover book. I haven't seen hardcover books in a long time, people. Is that silly of me to say that?
No, because most of us are in the day and age of e-readers on our phones and tablets, like me.
I haven't seen one in a long time.
Man, poor Overdrive hates me because this sees me coming and goes, oh, dear right. God. She's about to download another 7 books. Crap. It's like, crap. Okay,
so it looks like the book is about 421 pages. Including,
well, that's some light reading, depending on how good it is. Yeah, true. That's like a week at the most while working.
It's true. It has like a glossary of Celtic mythology.
Ooh.
Not called Celtic, is it Celtic? Celtic mythology, my fault, people.
Okay, I'm just amazed at the fact they put the glossary in the back. That was my joyous moment here. So we don't have to stumble the whole reading time.
This was published by HarperCollins. Mm-hmm. HarperCollins Teen. Right. So cool. So this is about... It says, so she's going to be captured by Leif, the main character. A young Northman leader during his failed siege. Oh, okay. Well, we're going to have to check out this book. So, folks, what do you think? Here, you hold the book, baby.
If I hold the book, it ain't coming back. I'm just saying, if I can find this on Overdrive, I probably will read it as well. I mean, the cover of it kind of has me captivated because you can see it looks like a crow or a raven. Most likely a raven, possibly a crow. But I think the fact of the matter is the cover of it is not overstated. So when you see it, you don't know what you're getting into.
Right.
You just know when you see, like, wisps of smoke off of a raven or a crow, you kind of get intrigued. What is the mystery? Those birds are always synonymous with mystery writers. Case in point, Edgar Allan Poe.
Right.
When you see black smoke, you always think of something hiding in the mist. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Every time you've seen Voldemort in the Harry Potter series, you always seen black smoke or smoke or dust nearby. Mm-hmm. Well, that and the fact that he was crusty anyway, but we're gonna let that go for now. I'm just gonna take a little tiny picture of the front of the book.
Wait, more pictures.
Yeah, so I can actually remember what I'm looking at. That way I can find it later.
So cool. And look, they even have like a little newslet. Ooh. Like a little newslet letter.
Okay. Thingy,
telling what's gonna be for next month, which is gonna be like May. So,
what to read next? And it has some authors on the bottom.
Yeah. Well, folks, this is our first impressions. This is so cool. So, make sure that if you all are interested in actually subscribing to Fairy Loot, it's called fairyloot.com. They have like
a lot.
It's a lot going on here. It's just awesome.
This got to be ready. Next paycheck to order this just for this freaking candle.
Or like whatever is going to be in the next box. This is so cool. You could actually like probably, if I remember correctly, you could actually purchase like a previous box.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Next pay, next week. This coming Friday.
Yeah.
Might be ordering this just for the darn candle.
Especially for the price. It's not bad. Mm. So, I mean, all of this is like worth it for the price. So, yeah, this is pretty cool. I might, you know, I probably will be continuing a subscription. Cool. All right, that's it for our first impressions. Back to the show.
Oh my.
In the manga? You talking about the manga or the anime?
Well, you know how sometimes they try to do a little shading on it normally to give you a little coloration.
I think, you know, the manga is a little different though.
I don't know what I'm talking anymore.
She's making sound effects, okay.
Because I forgot what I was typing and then my phone just cusses for me.
Yeah, I mean, I like her style. It was more of a cartoony style, more so than like the animes was to me. A little bit.
Well,
Not cartoony. I can't really describe it. It was more whimsical, I should say, like a little bit.
It had moments of that. She did good for like sharpening it for more intense moments where you were like, yes, action.
Yeah, action, yes. like right here. Here's there's Envy kicking Aya's ass right there. So
man, she walloped him all over.
But here's the but
she smacks sparks out of him often.
Was Envy a boy or a girl? I thought Envy was a dude. Was this supposed to be androgynous or something, I think?
Well, you know what? That's going to be one for the decade because I would say it was a girl, but
I thought it was a dude.
I thought it was a couple of each. But, yeah, who knows?
Okay.
Anywho. Not my job to figure that one out today.
All right. Yep. Okay, so let's get back to the manga. So Arakawa came up with the concept of Full Metal Alchemist after reading about the Philosopher's Stone. Through further reading, she became attracted to the philosophical side of alchemy, more so than the practical one. Because, you know, alchemy, if you ever read about alchemy?
Yes.
And, like, read, like, in depth, there's, like, a lot of contradictory information. And then also there's, like... They have, like, recipe books and all this other weird stuff.
How to conjure gold with what alchemia symbols, uh-huh. Where for gold. Yeah. Yeah.
It was just weird. So, got anything else on that that you can think of?
I mean, yeah, you're right. It was a bit whimsical in points. I mean, some of the cases, when you were talking through, you look at them, because I'm actually, like... I had to go back and pull up some images because I'm a little bit touched in the head and I can't remember everything. But just kind of going back through, you can obviously see where moments were more intense versus moments that were not. Mm-hmm. And see, no, I'm not crazy because even Scar got some color to him.
Well, yeah, he does.
They actually gave pigmentation and some shading help. So I'm happy about this. They try to keep it close on both show as well as in the manga.
And there's a, you know, and further along, you're going to get slightly a little ahead.
Sorry. But sorry. My brain runs in circles.
But
first episode.
I was getting ready to touch on that, actually.
I'm now psychic.
But, yeah, let's get on back. So.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Whee!
Yeah, this is unscripted, folks. So...
As my brain has said.
Let's talk about equivalent exchange. She said that she was, for equivalent exchange, she said that she was inspired by the work of her parents. And as we already mentioned before, that they worked on a dairy farm. Mm-hmm. So they had to work hard to earn
money
for
food.
Yeah, for food. And it's basically what you put out is what you receive.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And, let's see. So, also, like in the manga, she wanted to integrate social problems into the story. And actually, further reading, she, let's see, because I think they wanted to, that she was kind of touching on the indigenous people of Japan a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the name right now because I actually had written it down somewhere. And I don't have my notebook close by. But I had written down the name of the people. It starts with an I. Not I. No, it's A-I, I think. A-U? I forget, but it's...
Oh, hold on, thought.
But it's kind of interesting that the indigenous people, I think... Because what was the name of Scar's?
Yes, Ishbalans.
The Ishbalans. So the Ishbalan people.
I know.
Yeah, there you go. I know.
Gotcha. Or the Ainu.
The Ainu people. So the Ishbalan folks were.
Phones. Sorry. Forgot I wasn't on silent. My phone does this.
So, yeah, so the Ishbalan people were the fictional equivalent of the Ainu folk, or the Ainu people.
Yeah.
So that was pretty, you know.
And how they became refugees in their own country, mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So she did touch on a lot of, like, the social problems that mm-hmm. you've seen on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the 2000s. That was, what, a few years after the Kosovo War.
Yeah.
And you had, let's see, 2003. So right around the time that you would have been dealing with
9/11. Yeah.
How people were, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. persecuted. So, yeah, I mean, she did stick to...
Right, so
some drama.
Because even it says, like, right here in my notes, it says that she had done research involved on television, looking at a certain news programs, talking, news programs, and talking to refugees, war veterans, and former Yakuza members.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one I was not expecting, but okay. I could see how that ties in.
Yeah, especially, I don't want to give any spoilers, but if you guys actually read the manga or watch one of the anime series further along, you could probably see why you see like ties with the Yakuza, especially with King Bradley and
the Stay Alchemist and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, the other
that.
Stay Alchemist and yeah. And also,
you said it, yeah.
Yeah, also Roy Mustang's background was kind of like iffy. So, but that's a, you know,
touché.
Yeah, too, it was a little iffy, his background. So,
gives you something to read now later.
Okay, so let's talk about the world of Fullmetal Alchemist. What do you got there?
You know what? The world of it seems kind of, if you think about it, when you look at it, it kind of reminds you of like old world Germany in parts.
Uh-huh.
Like the countryside pieces of it. Mm-hmm. I guess it does kind of have like a old world architecture to it when you look at the show itself.
Yeah, it's really steampunk.
Yeah, true.
It's a steampunk
with
show.
The automail, yeah, you can tell it's like what happens if steampunk became a reality.
Mm-hmm.
The automail and all the different creations. But at the same time, it still keeps like a piece of that mystical world apart. Mm-hmm. Together, they actually explain alchemy without the use of quote unquote pagan
right
terminologies, which makes it kind of interesting to try to see how they put a scientific background to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did really good trying to tie the world together.
Right. Yes, she did.
That's cheating, but yay. Good cheating. We like that cheating.
So, when creating the fictional world of Fullmetal Alchemist, Arakawa was inspired after reading about the Industrial Revolution in Europe. And she said that she was especially interested in England during this period and incorporated these ideas into the manga. And it was funny when you say England, I was, like you were saying, I was seeing more Germany because we were talking about the Fuhrer and all of that.
Exactly. So you see, I'm like, you really seen all the Fuhrer, Black Bradley. And then you're like, mm-hmm. looking at them. The countryside reminds you of like rolling hills out. You expect to see the young ladies in their little hosen and everything and everybody just kind of chilling.
Right.
Off in Switzerland and Germany. You just see them nowhere near.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about it, like, the textbooks did not paint a pretty picture of parts of mm-hmm. Britain during that, so.
Yeah.
Looked a little dark, a little questionable.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, oh, okay.
All we right. went there.
All right.
It happened.
Hey, I'm sorry, my friend in Germany, if you're listening to it again and offended. I bet you're not. I bet you're probably like, I really could care less. But anywho.
We're probably laughing at us
sadistically. Yeah, she's probably like, this idiot. Okay,
like,
so.
If we knew it was going to happen, her nerd girl was going to go.
Yeah. Yeah, ich bin eine Frau.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, all right. That's the only thing I can say in German.
As long as you don't randomly scream, I love Tokyo Hotel! Hey, some of their songs I liked.
Blah.
I just like, hey, blah, some of the songs
blah,
I liked.
Blah,
I liked some of them, darn it. Was it because they were a German group? They were on IMF, darn it. Back when Dish Network had it. Hey, no, Dish Network even had, they had one channel for international music.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Far memories away.
Yeah, I didn't drink the Kool-Aid on that one. Sorry.
Drank it, swallowed it.
I didn't drink. I drank nothing. Yeah, I bet you had a lot of backwash, didn't you? Yeah. What was that?
I have no idea, but.
So Arakawa cites the manga authors, Shio Tagawa and Hiroyuki Ito, as her main inspirations for her character designs. She describes her artwork as a mix of both of them. Now, we were looking at Mahojin Guruguru, and you know what? I could actually see some of that artwork influence, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wait, and do you know who she says the easiest character to draw?
Which is the one that I would have found the hardest to freaking draw. No. You have this dude? Really?
Armstrong.
Of all people.
Alex Luis Armstrong, okay?
He poses more than Captain Ginyu on Dragon Ball Z.
I know, right?
And he's built like freaking Blackbeard and Whitebeard on One Piece. I have really got a lot. And Garp. Monkey D. Garp. Oh, that's who he reminds me of. Yes.
There you go.
Garp mixed with the freaking Ginyu Force poses.
Oh my God. We got to do a One Piece episode one day, though.
Yes.
We got to.
Girl, we couldn't do a One Piece episode in a day. We would need all day.
I know. I mean, okay. It might be a one. No.
One Piece needs at least 1 week.
Okay.
Anytime
it could be a two-parter. No, because look, we're talking about the history of it. I am not going to go into a big discussion with 9,000 plus episodes.
I was about to say, dude, this guy, like 9,000 episodes. I'm like, baby, listen, I gave up at about 1,000.
Hell no. I am like on episode 700 something right now.
I will play One Piece Treasure Cruise. I will pick up the manga.
Right.
I will skip ahead. Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay. Anywho. So, here's an interesting fact. Full Metal Alchemist is actually one of Square Enix's best performing properties, along with, go ahead,
Final Fantasy
and Dragon Quest.
Every time you think of Final Fantasy, I think of you.
Okay. All right.
I know. When we go, when that day comes, I just want to hear that podcast and laugh sadistically.
Okay. Because, yes, there's a Final Fantasy episode coming up. And I don't know, Bianca probably wants to shadow it.
I just want to literally have that moment on Twitter when I go, at who's impressed? Ha ha, ha ha, 10-2, ha ha. That will be the response. I can't help it.
Yes,
I can't
okay,
wait.
I was tripping. I was a tripping teenager. I didn't understand what was going on. I was like, what the fridge, dear? Okay, moving on. Okay, the anime, 2003.
Oh, God.
Yes. So, of course, after the success of the manga, an anime follows.
As does most things.
Yes. And then, you know, further down along, we have like a bad live action action film, but that's neither.
Yeah, bad film that doesn't follow no concept of the show or the manga.
I mean, it tried, but that's another. I'm not even going
to
go into that
No, because that to me, that's even happened with books and other shows and things like that.
Yeah, but it was just, I don't know what the hell they were doing. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
we're just going to gloss that one. Just
adapted by Studio Bones and was directed by Seiji. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
Seiji.
Mizushima.
Thank you. Mizushima. It was directed by Seiji Mizushima. Never mind.
You're fine.
Okay.
You're so human.
Yes,
you're
I human. Am human. I am. I do not speak Japanese. Ask me to speak German and I will. Thank you. All right. So.
And this will be the time when the nerd sniffers will go.
Whatever. I don't care. You can go sniff all you want. I can give a flying.
Like I said, Febreze comes in many scents. Just spray it on the couch or a carbon go later and sniff that. How about
sniff.
That?
Sniff it. All right. So, yeah, sniff it. Okay. So, during development, Irukawa advised the team about the world and allowed Studio Bones to work independently from her. So, basically, Full Metal Alchemist was going, you know, she was writing the manga the same time as the show was being produced and coming out. So she allowed them to work independently from her and requested an original ending different from that of the original manga. So what do you think about that one?
Okay, wait a minute. They requested a different ending.
Well, no, she requested it.
Okay. It worked independently from her.
And requested an original ending different from the one in the original manga. Because she was still doing the manga at the time.
Okay, am I the only one who just got really, really confused just now?
Why?
Because the way my brain is running this through. Because it's like she's letting them she let them, she told them what's going on. Uh-huh. Here's what it is. Here's the world. Figure it out. Do what you do.
Right.
But then she requested a different ending than what she already figured out.
My assumption is that she, because she didn't want it to be redundant. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say that, or she ran out of thoughts to what the original ending was going to be at that point.
Probably not.
Well, let me rephrase what I mean. She probably had something in mind, and when she got to putting it to works, she probably was like, eh.
I don't know. I kind of think that was a smart move on her part, because, yeah, the manga ended totally different than the original anime, which she didn't want, basically, like, when anime is, when we have like an anime and a manga running at the same time, you know, there are a lot of original, you know, material going into these episodes.
That, or you have a lot of filler arcs.
Yeah, filler arcs, right. So the original anime had a lot of filler arcs compared to the anime that we're going to discuss after this one. So she knew, I'm sure she probably like knew what her ending was going to be, but she wanted to keep it mums from, you know, she wanted to kind of like, hey, I don't want this to be like a repeat type of thing. Like, it's like everybody already knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's when, but you know what, if you think about it, that could have sparked up some additional costs too. Not for her, but generated additional product. Because you think about it, you got those two different ends. You got people that's going to buy the manga in order to then try to go against what's showing on TV. Could have sparked sales in a way.
Yeah. I think that's what happened.
Now that we think about it a little bit, like...
Yeah. That's probably what happened.
Let's find out.
All right. Well, I don't know. Anywho, so...
How do you know when you're shady?
Yeah. Okay, true. All right, so... Because the original anime ended so weird, but followed up by a weird-ass movie. But anywho, that's a different story. Okay, so... it debuted in Japan October 4th, 2003, and ran until October 2nd, 2004. The dub version was produced by Funimation and debuted on Adult Swim November 6th, 2004.
For those of you who are probably in the background going, I thought the other one said Toonami. That's because everything in my brain is Toonami when it was on Cartoon Network. That was like, that was the time. Put it like this. That was back in the day when you came home from school and it was on at 4 o'clock.
Right.
You could watch like hella anime and not have to deal with it. And then you forgot. When it used to come on at night, that's when they played it uncut. So you got to see blood, violence,
right,
character cuss.
That's why I was freaking out during that first episode of Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh my God. Because
it was at night. I don't know where I was. I think I was like in the living room and I was like, what the hell? His leg is gone. Why is this happening?
That and the fact that I remember him calling for his brother.
Right.
Like something was one of the ones, I think it's like a later episode that was like a lot more gruesome version than that first one that you really seen the rip. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh dear God.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, welcome to Full Metal for you.
Full Metal Alchemist. Full Metal Alchemist. Okay. All right. So who was your favorite character?
The fact is I didn't have a favorite character.
I
didn't have I think I liked
Well Winter your favorite Re- moment then.
I think this makes me a very bad person for this, but am I the only one who loved the fact that Roy just went ham all us?
Oh yeah, that was great.
A man snapped his fingers more than a group of people watching a poetry jam session.
Okay, so who all don't know what's going on? I'm not gonna go into it, but let's just say that one character pissed off another character. This character did something really, really, really bad and was like a part of a really, really bad group. And he was like, you know, and I have like,
This person pissed off the wrong person.
Now, for those who don't know, who's Mustang?
Roy Mustang is actually one of the another one of the state alchemists who wears a pair of gloves that have the transmutation symbol on them, and he's able to pretty much create fire.
Oh yeah, and what's a transmutation circle?
So we didn't went into that one. Yeah, we kind of transmutation circle in the full metal alchemist is a workspace almost where you put in. This is part of the equivalent exchange. You put in something equivalent to what you expect to get out of it. So if you're looking for a glass, you would possibly put in sand, maybe mattress or something.
Right.
And here comes, you have a glass, because what creates, what? How do you get glass? You melt sand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not sure how his work on his gloves, but every time he moves his hands, claps, snaps, he's able to conduct fire.
Right.
So he literally looks like two of them spark stones with his fingers. So
yeah, he can just snap his fingers and he can like
combust
and set people on fire.
And but, also and pyro.
That's, and that's what happened to old Lusty
just,
there.
Hey, just look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, look it up on YouTube.
And watch sadistically as I laugh.
Yeah.
So my inner pyro just showed, huh?
Yeah.
Sorry. But question is, who was yours? Because mine was Winery a little bit because she was handy.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact she wasn't damsel in distress. She was the one they always ran back to.
Right.
She wasn't a typical, Edward! No, she wasn't one of them.
And she would kick his ass on several occasions. But
and beat him with said wrench that she woke up with. But so who was your favorite? Because I know you got at least one tucked in there.
Alphonse. He's so sweet.
He was sweet.
Alphonse was the sweetest thing ever. And then also, my other favorite character.
Uh-oh, she done broke out that voice. Time to run, y'all.
My other favorite character, I would have to say.
I was going to say, if you say it's that parrot.
No, it's no parrot.
It was a parrot in her.
My favorite other character was, Ed and Al's daddy in the 03 version. And I don't think, like, in 03 version, did they mention his name in the 03 version? It was Hohenheim.
Yeah, Hohenheim.
I don't remember that they mentioned it, and I don't think I was paying attention at the time, but.
They mentioned it later on, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
Because, like, didn't they for a minute? So, yeah, we're not going to get into that.
Yeah, so my other favorite character was the 03 version of Hohenheim, because he was funny. And that's pretty much it. See, I have such simplistic reasons to liking somebody. But then also,
see,
I also like enjoy the relationship between Ed and Al and their brotherly existence. It kind of reminds me, you know, actually the show Supernatural kind of reminds me a little bit of Full Metal Alchemist a little bit.
In terms of the way they interact?
Uh-huh, just a little bit.
Okay.
Just slightly, but.
Just enough to glimpse it there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I can give you that because I can see how you would think that. Okay.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I can see how you like how you like their interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just thought it was cool because, you know, coming from a place of being the only youngling at home, you know, I didn't really have many brother sister moments, but you know, I got an older brother, but he's like old, grown and somewhere else.
Old.
Yeah, old.
Keyword, older. Old.
And yes, pretty much it. I enjoyed the politics of the show a lot. It was like really at the time that was like something I had never seen before, like in an animated series at the time.
Yeah, you know what? Now you mentioned it, it's always like the brother sister complexes or the creepy big brother little brother. Because if you think of like Naruto's Itachi and Sasuke, dear God,
yeah, that's a different story,
right? I'm just saying, like, compared because you can remember they argued, they fussed, they fought, but at the end of the day, even though it's the smaller of the brothers,
that's what I was talking about the politics of the show. That, but anywho, I think, wait, did we get confused?
Yeah, I really did.
I think we all got well.
And blame it on me, y'all. Blame it on me.
Because I was talking about the politics of the show, and I was like, wait, we're still talking about brothers?
Well, see, and the killing part is when you say the politics, my brain was thinking, like, the different relations, the different things was going on.
True, true.
So it all just blurred into one with me. Okay. Sorry.
That's all right.
That's the politics. The politics.
I'm like, what? What's happening? But
you start. Is anyone here?
Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? What's happening? Yeah. So yeah, you know, I agree with you about like the brother. Like, yeah, I agree with you though. Yeah, I'm sorry, folks. I got tongue tied. So let's talk about the music. Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. All right. So let's talk about these opening themes.
Yes, please.
Lord. Okay, we're gonna do a tag team. Please. Okay. So Melissa, go ahead.
Ready, steady, go.
All right, undo.
Rewrite.
All right. Yes, those were all the openings of the show. So let's talk about, to me, the most famous one will have to be Ready, Steady, Go by Liart.
Liart Conciel.
Yes. That is like the jam. If I had a kazoo, I would start humming it. We're like, wait. Matter of fact.
I was like, it's bad because you know what I reach for.
Yeah. You know, matter of fact, let's hear a little piece right now.
I mean, because I don't know what it is about that opening that just makes you.
And it's just, and it's like, it makes you happy.
Ooh. Fun fact.
What's up?
So, fun fact is, if anyone actually watches the original video for it, all the chibi animations of La Canciel was actually done by the lead singer Haido. The reason why he didn't go into art was, well, he's colorblind.
He could still be an artist.
In his mind, he couldn't. But he makes freaking awesome music, so
hey,
we won't stop him.
Hey,
we won't stop him.
You ready? Ready, steady, go. Ready, steady, go. Ready, steady, never look back. Let's get started. Ready, steady, go.
Yep, as I drive home tonight, I know what's gonna play.
And it was like,
I'm about to beat myself to death here.
Bianca is over here swinging her hair around and beating herself up.
Back because I looked like Sailor Moon the other day, so it's probably good. when these are wrapped up.
Oh yeah, they do look like Sailor Moon. Okay, yeah, okay. Anywho, I'm sorry, we got a little distracted. We always get distracted. Okay.
Doesn't take very much in my world.
All right, so that was Ready, Steady, Go, and here's the thing: like my favorite memory, I will say, of the anime was the opening to the show, and then they were like running. To the music, like to the beat of the music,
yes.
And
yes.
It was like the scenes were changing, and I'm like, this is the greatest show ever. Oh,
when
my
you
gosh.
Have that pure look of joy on your face, that gleeful, oh my god, this is wonderful.
Yes, as soon as that comes on, you start
because it almost low key reminds you of like some of your 16-bit game music almost in your 8-bits,
right? Doesn't it?
Think of almost like Mario World while you're running across the street,
yes,
taking out turnips and throwing it at people,
yes. I mean, like listening to that is nothing, you know, even though those my teenage years, that was nothing but it felt like childhood right there. It was like,
man, because when I think about how long ago was my childhood, I sit here and go, oh.
All right, so are you familiar with any of these ending themes?
Oh yeah
yes.
Especially there's a few of them. Some of these artists I actually listen to separate from their work here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, some of these I'm like, oh my god. It's like, whew.
All right, so let's name a few.
So, Kasanae Sumi or Indelible Sin by Nana Kitae.
All right. Here I go with the Japanese. I'm going to go and read the English. To the Other Side of the Door by Yellow Generation.
That one was Tobina no Muko Hei.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, close enough.
All right, so Motherland by Christelle K.
And I Will by Soalu.
Yes.
Why did that look like that was even another language?
I know, didn't it? Didn't look African for a second.
African, a drop of Korean. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready, y'all. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. No, but I actually do like Indelible Sin quite a bit. No, a couple other songs of hers. I believe she partnered with Haido on some songs on the show Nana. So,
oh, just by the way, who are you talking about? For those who are listening who don't know,
okay. So Haido or Hyde is the lead singer from Lark on CL, who did Ready Steady Go and countless other albums that I freaking love and other songs. So
who's the singer for
Indelible Sin? Yes. That is Nana Kitare. She had a couple other songs. I can't think of one of them right this second, but. I mean, that for me was one of my favorite, actual one of my favorite endings. I don't know what it is. I think it was the beat of it. It was kind of a little bit grungy, a little bit popish, but you kind of, you could hear yourself playing this as you're driving down the freeway.
But here's the interesting thing. Like, at the time, I was only watching Full Metal Alchemist on Adult Swim because they rarely play, like,
the opening and the ending.
And the ending. So, like, a lot of these, I'm like,
or you scroll, like, okay, let's talk about Inuyasha for 3 seconds since we did bring it up. Man, my wheel ain't never went that fast. My, where's the rest?
Yeah.
It was like three notes and you were done.
Yep, that was it. They would like cut that stuff short onto the next show.
Man, you didn't even see the opening theme.
Nope, you didn't see it at all in Inuyasha, actually.
Right, and then you get confused, like, later in life, years later, they play the whole thing. You're like,
what is this?
What song is this?
This is epic. What is this epic thing? What is
it? Okay. Change the World by V6.
Okay. We're skipping ahead because Inuyasha, our Inuyasha episode is going to come up.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, we're going to do Inuyasha. Oh. That's going to be a future episode.
Oh, so you really about to make me go dust the cobwebs off. Yes,
we're going
to
dust them cobwebs off.
Poor Hulu.
All right. Let's move on.
Kill my data plan.
All right. So what happened in 2009?
2009, they had to do it a short and sweet version. Time to cut the filler crap.
Yes. It
came out with Brotherhood.
Full Metal Alchemist. Brotherhood. Yeah, baby. So Brotherhood follows the original manga storyline. It's not exactly to a T, but it's more like a spiritual type of thing, you know? We are, like, introducing new characters, like the Shingonese characters, who I can't think of right now. Ling and...
Oh, I know the ones you're talking about now. Oh, Lord. The little girl who...
Yeah, little girl.
Looks like she just beats the snot out of people while she carries her panda.
Yeah, the panda craft me up. What was her name real quick, folks?
I have no clue, please hold. When in doubt, ask your phone.
Yes, ask the phone. Yes, we have Ling and I know. Wait, his was easy to remember.
Yeah, that was just cheating a little bit.
Yeah, it was like, what? Dang it. And we were actually kind of like introduced to like more of the geographical elements in this anime versus the old one. Dang it.
Well, he was Ling Yao. Hold on.
Thank you.
Was it Lan Fan?
No, I'm still looking. Lanfan was like the servant.
Never mind, I see who she is. Never mind.
What was her name?
Oh, crap.
Because it was a little girl. I can't think of her name. That's right, okay. Now
I got the spelling of Singanese. I can actually probably do this decently now.
Let me just click on the emperor then. Mei Chang.
Thank you. I was like, same characters.
I couldn't even think of her name. It was so weird. Mei Chang.
I like the fact
that Mei Chang was pretty cool. You know, it's funny. It's kind of messed up. I forgot her name, like how to say her name, but not actually, I forgot her name altogether. But I just know what her name was. No, I did not know what her name was. I'm rambling, folks. I'm so sorry. She introduced Alka history into the series, and for those who don't know what Alka history is, it is kind of like alchemy, but it has like a different spin to it. Do you remember what that was?
No.
Okay.
You know what? That's because of the fact that for some reason, like for a while, it just seems like it was almost impossible to kind of get one episode after another correct. Because it's like, it almost seems like it was interspersed. So it was hard to keep track of which one you were on and keep track. So
Alka history is it's a slightly different form of alchemy. It is mainly used in Xing. History differs from alchemy in both its practice and its goal, whereas alchemy claims to have its root in energy and tectonic shifts and practices manipulation of matter towards scientifically practical ends. Alchemy is centered on a concept called the dragon's pulse, which speaks of earth itself having a constant flow of chi, which is basically life energy. Kind of reminds you of Final Fantasy VII there for a second, with the life stream, which flows metaphorically from the tops of mountains down to the land, nourishing everything it passes with energy, as does blood coursing through the veins. So alchemy is more spiritual versus
alchemy. Okay, almost like the difference. Okay. I'm probably going to have some nerd sniffers, some religious nerd sniffers hitting for this one. That's just like the combination. I'm going to have the Bible thumpers mixed with nerd sniffers mixed with that face of, how dare you? So almost like when you're trying to figure out Scientology versus Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm about to have somebody stone me tonight, but it's a hot stone massage if you're doing it.
Whatever.
Please.
Whatever, we don't care.
No, I really don't.
You can care less. Let's move on. So, yeah. So yeah, 09. The new anime comes out. So what was your reaction to that one?
Pretty much. Okay, my whole thing about when you go back and you like take out the filler arcs. I think that's been numerous shows I've watched in the day. Sailor Moon versus Sailor Moon Crystal. Naruto versus, well, not Naruto because they never took out the fillers. Dragon Ball Z versus Dragon Ball Z Kai. I'm like, you know, brothers, Dragon Ball, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. It, to me, it just kind of streamlined the story a little bit. Mm-hmm. No longer did Trunnies like, and unfortunately, I'm going to have to kick back to Dragon Ball Z for this one, but this one's quick, I promise.
Okay, thank you.
This is quick. Like, there was one scene where something took literally, they said, oh, you can get to Namek in 2 weeks in a spaceship. It took them 6 months to get this dude 2 weeks away. Whereas you scroll forward to the new one, it took this dude 2 episodes to get there. I'm just saying, when you streamline things like that,
mm-hmm,
and make it move smoothly, it makes it easier for you to stay interested and engaged. The filler arcs sometimes, they're great for comedic relief,
mm-hmm,
but they sometimes do ruin a plot line for you.
Yeah, they do. I have to agree with that one.
It's like, what? Why'd you take a break? Aren't we supposed to be getting to the
nitty gritty?
Yeah, like, aren't we supposed to be trying to find
this?
Because
they really are trying to, you know, catch up with what the mangaka is doing, so. Yeah.
So then let's add like 15 more episodes that we really don't need.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Game of Thrones situation. That's a different story. That's a different story. I don't know how many times I said that throughout the podcast, but seriously, it was a different story though.
See what happened.
Yeah, because especially, yeah, I'm going to talk about it, especially now since George R.R. Martin is talking about that the current book is not going to be coming out this year.
Pissed your whole life off.
Which is basically like, okay, so what are you going to do? So what about the last book that's supposed to do? What about Dream of Spring? You're still not done with the winter one, so I can't even think of the title of this one that he's working on right now. What's it called? The Winds of Winter or something like that? But anywho, Game of Thrones is going to be done by the time any of those books are going to come out. So, anywho, moving on. Let's see.
Music again.
Yeah, we're going to back to the music.
Okay. And it's bad because as she's saying, humming it, my thumbs are steadily going for it right now. Is that terrible?
So if you guys don't recognize this, okay. So the opening, one of the openings, like I think probably like the most popular opening for this show, is called Again by Yui.
I have it.
You do?
Yes.
We'll play it.
It was a setup. I was like, that was a setup, y'all. That innocent voice knew there was more to this.
Reminds me of an 80s song. It really does. I like it. It's funny.
I don't know.
Like the tone of it, like in the back, reminds me of a 1980s song. I can't think of the name of the song right now, but it's, yeah. Okay, so we have again as the, you know, let's tag team again. So so we have again for the opening and for the ending. So let's start that. So
okay, so
we got
Uso, which means lie by Sid, which is episodes 1 through 14.
Okay, hologram by Nico touches the wall.
I got questions about that name, but
yeah,
okay. The other one is let it. Yeah, Nico touches the walls, make you wonder some questions.
Yeah, here. Yeah, I know. Uh-huh.
And Let It Out by Miho Fukuhara.
Yes, and we have Golden Time Lover by Tsukima Switch.
And Sinaida Te by, or what translates into Tied Hands by Lil B. Okay. Then we bring up, okay, 50 Shades of Grey moment there,
uh-huh,
but
Bedroom
of Pain. We'll never let that one down.
Okay, so what did you like about Brotherhood?
Brotherhood for me, I like the fact, like I said, I like streamlining because I have the attention span of a dead gnat. So as y'all have noticed from this podcast, but I like the fact that you streamlined it. I like the fact that it seemed to kind of introduce more of the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that we got to see other parts of it other than just the Ishbalans.
Yes.
Because they painted the Ishbalans a man in a horrible way.
They did. Like but, in the original. Yeah.
I mean, it, to me, it was just the fact it was packed full of action. Mm-hmm. Gave me something to watch. I like the architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the artwork had moments of cartooniness, but in whimsical and whimsy.
In the anime, the drawing in this anime, the art style to me was just phenomenal, and like in an animation, like everything, like you said, was like everything was streamlined.
Yes. That is a terminology I love now.
Streamlined.
Because you think about it, you get so lost in the fillers amongst the episodes, you kind of forget for a second like the basis, and I think a lot of shows have too many fillers. Like One Piece, come on now.
Yeah, One Piece has 1,000 fillers. It's funny. I kind of wish they could have done kind of like how they were doing Hunter x Hunter, because you know Hunter x Hunter, that's a different story. I heard going talking about a different story, but that's Hunter x Hunter. The mangaka, he's kind of he's kind of off and on with the manga.
Right.
So they just really don't bother doing an anime too much, too many animated sequences of Hunter x Hunter, so they just kind of like whatever. So
or like, wait a minute, did you like how they rushed through the last of Naruto? Because at that point they were getting tired of trying to keep up. He was like, I'm just gonna put this to the end of this right now. And they was like start churning them out left, right, and center. I'm like, as many episodes as it is, I literally read the manga and knew what was going on.
Right before it.
Like, before the anime. Yeah. I was like, I ain't got time for this. Just give me the manga,
yeah,
please.
That's what I did.
Speed through.
Okay. All right. So, I think that's pretty much it for Fullmetal Alchemist.
I mean, at the end of the day, when we think about it, it was a good intro show because the artwork wasn't too intense. It wasn't something that you're looking at. I'm like, oh my God, look at these harsh angles at her face. Oh my God, look at this. Oh, you know, it had a little bit of whimsical fancy, had a little bit of Karen, a little bit of concern. The fact Karen that the brother, Karen concern, compassion and concern, sleep and concern. You saw a good interplay between the brothers. It wasn't like fanatical big brother moments.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, it was a good intro anime. I just think it probably, I would think watching Brotherhood would make it easier than go back and watch the original.
Original, right. I agree.
Watch Brotherhood, the rewrite. Then go back and watch the original. And whatever you do, don't touch the live action.
Yeah, don't touch the live action.
Don't waste action. Your energy on that.
I don't know. We might have to do like a... We might rant. No, not a rant. We could do like a reaction to the animation. Not the animation show, but the live action show.
Oh, God. So you get to see my face where my facial expressions give me the world trouble?
No, we're going to mostly talk about it.
Okay, thank God.
I ain't filming nothing, shit. Excuse me. excuse my French, but if you all see me right now, you're probably like, no, we don't really want to see you right now, so.
I told you I look like a lumpy potato most days.
I don't know. I look like a candle wax figure. So, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, so there it is.
And that's me when I'm naked, so. With no bra, that's a problem.
All right, little lady, so where can we find you? Do you have any social media that you would like to discuss with us?
I do. I actually remember them all this time. When people ask me, I forget. So Facebook, I'm at, of course, facebook.com/angelravendove88. All one word. I think I remember that correctly. Twitter, I believe I'm at twistandtroll88. Yes, if you happen, and it's all spelled out, except for the numbers. If you happen to see a bunch of things from One Piece, Treasure Cruise, it was me. I did it. And I think on IG, one of them is actually listed at BB's Color Bar, which actually happens to be my page for my work. So it's actually tied into my other page. I got too much going on in my life. Too much, y'all. Too much. Don't sleep.
Well, guys, you can find me at A-L-E Overton on Twitter. And I am also on Instagram, but don't bother with Instagram for me, but whatever. But you can follow me like at Gadget Dow. That's also my PlayStation Network
handle.
So Gadget Dow, if you like gadgets, just say hi.
I tell people, you see me, just say hi.
Yeah, just say hi. And Bianca's popping herself right now.
Ow!
Be careful now.
It's not my fault this thing's built like a freaking industrial slingshot.
Yeah. Okay, so if you want to follow the podcast, you can follow us at Who's Impressed on Twitter and also on Instagram. Make sure to check out our website. We got some pretty cool stuff up. And you know, that's pretty much it. Signing off. Sayonara.
Done it.
Bye.